We've all seen the incredible horse and rider combinations as the backbone of our sport. But what about everything else that makes the equestrian world tick? From the everyday grind to the world-class professional, join the Equestrian Podcast as we talk about every equestrian discipline in a way that hasn't been done before. Now here's your host, rider, trainer, and influencer behind My Equestrian Style, Bethany Lee.
Hey friends, and welcome back to the Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Lee, and this is episode 398. Our guest today is a professional show jumper, and she has deep roots in riding. She has a family that has always been a part of the equestrian world, and her path in the sport has been influenced by her upbringing and her family's support. She's a very big part of North Star Sport Horses, and she expresses her passion for producing young show jumpers and really brings her a ton of fulfillment for her career. She emphasizes the significance of the horse and rider relationship in show jumping, and I think she does such a great job of highlighting her role in her horse's development and definitely the importance of establishing those strong bonds. So without further ado, please welcome our guest today, Charlotte Jacobs. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Bethany. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on again. It's been a minute since we chatted.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. Give me a little bit of a rundown for those who did not listen to your original episode. How did you first get started in the horse world?
My entire family rides. So I have cousins and aunts that do the hunters. I have my uncle does the jumpers. My father was a top rider for the U.S. And my mom was actually a top groom for the U.S. So I have a lot of background in the industry and I grew up with the sport. I'm very lucky to come from a horse family. It's basically just in my blood.
Obviously, like you said, you come from a family full of equestrians. So what has that dynamic been like? I mean, growing up, was it really challenging to be working with your family, you know, as far as like the pressure to succeed or, you know, make a big career out of it? So how has that been growing up and what is it like now?
Growing up, it was really fun because I got to spend a lot of time with my family. I have cousins that are around the same age as me, and we got to go to horse shows together. All the spring breaks and winter breaks were spent with them and at the barn at Deerage down in Florida or up in East Aurora, New York. And it was always at our grandparents. So we spent a lot of time with our grandparents. Having parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents that are in the industry, they understand the sport and the ups and downs of it. So I never feel pressure from them, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of your family, together you operate North Star Sport Horses. So tell me a little bit about what you do there and kind of your role that you play at North Star.
Yeah, so my parents started North Star, I think, back in 2010 when I was still riding at North Run with John and Missy. And now we've really focused on buying some of the best young horses we can find and developing them into either, you know, a nice hunter, or a nice equitation horse, and hopefully some nice jumpers. I ride most of the horses. My husband is now involved in the business too, which is awesome. He does a lot of the breaking of the young horses. He manages everything. He's like Superman, really. He does everything in the business. My parents are awesome owners. They are very involved in the everyday. My dad comes to every single horse show, which is awesome. He sits at the barn all day and watches us and just loves it, obviously, when he can, when he's not working. My mom is still riding, which is really great. And she's so into the young horses and working day to day with them. It's fun. It's fun to be around your family all the time. And we're really, really lucky that we get to work together and that we work well together. So yeah, we enjoy it.
I always find it interesting with finding your spouse, especially when your job, yeah. I mean, you know, as equestrians is so full time and so, you know, so much travel, so much, you know, all encompassing. So how did you guys meet?
We met through friends down here. He's Irish and a few, you know, one of my best, two of my best friends are married to Irish men now as well. And so He just sort of became part of our friend group and we met and really hit it off. And yeah, I mean, it's just been easy from the get-go. We do everything together. I mean, we go to the barn together, we travel together, we look at horses together. He trains me sometimes. And obviously, as a couple, sometimes you've faced things that are difficult. But I'm really lucky that he's someone I can lean on at all times. It's really changed my life and changed my riding, having him with me all the time. So it's great.
So cool.
Yeah, it's
Throughout
fun.
the course of your career, you've obviously had experience in the equitation, the hunter, and the jumper ring. So, what advantages do you feel like you've gained from having those different experiences of different rings?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the equitation was great for my mental game. Obviously, you learn a lot and you learn a lot about line and track, and you're able to practice things at a lower level jumps than you would in the jumper ring. And I mean, I still find myself using what I learned in the equitation day to day in the jumper ring. And the pressure of equitation finals is similar to pressure that I feel when I'm going into Grand Prix. You want to do well and you want to do well for your team and your horse. And sometimes you do screw up, but also the mental game of getting over that and moving on. So it's important, and I think it was good for me to learn that at a young age.
Definitely. I'm kind of talking again about your, dynamic of growing up in a horse family. Obviously, it's a little bit more unique, not the case for every equestrian. So,
Yeah.
what would you say is your take? Because obviously, there were, certain things that you had maybe access to that other
Yeah.
equestrians who didn't have a ton of connections in the horse world had. So what would be your take on accessibility in the sport and how you think we can make it more accessible for young and up and coming riders and not necessarily from a financial standpoint, but even just more so about like all of the connections?
Yeah, I mean, I think for young riders, they have to be open to meeting new people, going to the horse show and learning from every single person that goes in the ring.
Right.
Absolutely, like there's always opportunities for working student positions, which is amazing. I mean, we had a girl who was a working student for us for a month down here, and she learned a lot and she got to ride a lot of new horses. And I think when it comes to the up and coming riders, like putting yourself out there like that, I am very lucky that I came from a horse family. And like I said, it's in my blood, but not everybody has that, like you said. And so going out, meeting people, really putting yourself out there, which can be difficult at a young age, but it is important. And I think for professionals, being open-minded and taking on a working student and they might not know as much as you want them to know, but they have to learn somehow,
Right.
So I think a lot of professionals are beginning to focus on that and focus on the future of the sport.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's a really good perspective. Speaking of younger horses, you have so much experience with young horses. Do you have like an ideal age that you prefer that or, really like to work with?
Yeah. I mean, for me, like I've bought horses at all ages. I like 8 and 9 is kind of like maximum the amount I will buy, like the age I'll buy at.
Right.
I have one that I absolutely adore. He was 7-year-old of the year last year. His name is Pablo, and we bought him as a 5-year-old, and he's just like a dream, but I also know him so well. And now he's 8, and I feel like in the next year or two, he's gonna be a Grand Prix horse, but it's also knowing him and knowing where he's at and knowing what it feels like and how great it is. And that's, when you have them from such a young age and you get to know them, then it's feels easy once they reach that 8 and 9 and they're starting to step up and you know them and they know you, and it's really rewarding, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. And you've seen all the stages, and I'm sure they just seem so grown up to you by the time they hit 9.
Yeah, and you definitely, it's not all easy and it's not all sunshine and rainbows and
Sure.
unicorns, but it's definitely, You learn them on their good days and you learn them on their bad days. And I think that's what sets things apart, hopefully, when they get to the higher levels.
Definitely. And I just think it's so must help you so much just as a rider in general, because I think that sometimes riders who don't have a ton of experience with young horses can often get shaken up or like thrown off if maybe more seasoned horse, not even an off day, but just like a different type of day. And
For
you know,
sure.
being able to recognize that, okay, these are animals with their own personalities and their own the mind of their own, and they're going to have different days and they're entitled to it. And you know, just being able to roll with it and you know, take different tools out of your tool belt that you've collected over the years and make it work to the best of your ability. But I think with all of your experience with young horses, you have a lot of tools you can whip out.
Absolutely. And luckily, like, I have a great team around me with my husband. And if something's not going right, we can put our heads together and be like, okay, let's
Right.
think about what happened with this one and how did we fix that and how did we move forward. And it's definitely sometimes you can find yourself getting frustrated in the moment, but looking back, it's like, oh, okay, we got through that and we succeeded and we're doing well and we're doing better than we were. So it's just taking it day by day and really looking at things in a big picture. And I think young horses have really forced me to do that, and I'm grateful for that.
Definitely. Was it this summer that you jumped in your very first international five-star class?
That was actually 2 summers ago,
Two
which is
summers ago
crazy.
already. Oh my gosh. I know. I feel like I'm not able to keep track of years.
Time goes by really fast.
Seriously, can you take me back? Because I know somewhat recently, maybe last summer, you jumped your very first international five-star class. So tell me a little bit about that experience and how you prepare for a class like that. Do you feel like there is a big difference between how you would prepare you and your horse for, you know, a big five-star international class versus, you know, another class during, let's say, during this like Wellington season?
I think there is a little bit of a difference, but I'm the type of rider that the more relaxed I am, the better I ride. So if I can stay relaxed like I am in a sort of regular day-to-day class, I guess you could say, I find that I'll do better. So obsessing over a class or obsessing over a result isn't really good for me. And so I try to just ride every day, the same, and try to stay consistent. Obviously, my first five-star show in Hickstead was, a big deal for me, and it was nerve-wracking. But I just tried to take it all in my stride, and I was like, if I want to do this, this is gonna have to happen. And I wanna do it at this level. And so I sort of pushed myself out of my comfort zone to do that. And I'm really glad I did, because now, looking back and jumping a lot of 5 stars the past year, really, it gave me a lot of good experience, and I proved something to myself, that I could do it. And I was happy coming out of Hickstead. It was a great experience, and it made me better rider, and it made me mentally stronger. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah. With all of the success that you've had in your career so far, do you feel like there's anything that you wish you would have done differently in your path to, you know, how you are, who you are now, and how your career is, how it is now?
I think for a while, I so when I graduated high school and I aged out, I took a little bit of a step back, which was difficult at the time. And for a long time, I wish I hadn't done it. But now, looking back, I'm really glad I did. I went away to school. I got my degree. I met a lot of really great people. I went and worked in the quote unquote real world, I guess you could say. And yeah, I did things outside of horses, and I still rode. I did, the high amateurs or mediums, and had two or three horses, and just had fun doing it, which, I mean, I still have fun doing it, but it was just in a different way. And for a long time, I said, oh, I wish I rode through college. I wish I had the Grand Prix horse. I wish I was riding on teams. And then now, looking back, I'm really happy I had that time, to be honest, because it made me find a world outside of horses and gave me, other life experiences. And then when I was able to come back to horses, I was like, okay, this is what I really want to do. This is what I really love, because I tried something else and I loved doing something else, but I also love my horses. And I remember
Definitely.
I was working in Boston, and I was sitting at my desk, and I called my mom, and I was just like, I miss riding so much. Like, I just want to come home. And she was like, okay, come home. Let's just do it. And that was sort of
Oh,
it. So, yeah.
yeah.
If you follow me on Instagram, you know one of my favorite clothing brands to wear is Dada Sport. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about them and what really sets them apart. They started in 2012, and they were really envisioning a contemporary but just a really cutting-edge wardrobe that is made for women by women, and they also have a men's line too as well. But Dada Sport goes beyond the technicality of its fabrics and the comfort of the different creations that they've made. I love that they have unique lines, but there still are really timeless pieces for riding because we are part of such a classic and timeless sport. So finding ways to combine those two things where it's still really fashion forward, but it goes back to the basics of equestrian sport. Each piece truly is the result of a commitment to excellence, sustainability, and respect for our environment. So I just have so much respect for Dada Sport and all of their pieces. So if you want more information, visit their website at dadasport.com or check them out at Wellington International. They have a booth all season long, and just feel and try on some of their pieces and you will know what I'm talking about. All right, let's get back to the episode.
This very, very similar thing happened to me. Right out of college, I moved to LA with a fashion job and loved it, loved the fashion, loved the, all of that. Hated the office life. And I was like, I just, all I could think about was like, I just want to get back to the horses.
No, of course. I mean, like when you're used to being outside all day with animals, and then all of a sudden you're sitting in a cubicle on a computer and you're like, what am I doing here?
So
But
true.
I'm happy I did it, but I'm way happier doing what I'm doing now. So
What was your role when you were outside of the horse world?
I actually worked in marketing for the Boston Celtics, which was really fun.
Cool.
But yeah, missed the horses.
Definitely. How do you feel like it has been with the dynamic of being, in top level riding as a woman in the horse industry?
To be honest, right now, if you look at Team USA and the up and coming riders, like there's a lot of young female riders, especially in, I mean, all over the world, but especially in America right now. You see Lily Keenan, you see Mimi Gotchman, you see Zaina Rizvi, and it's honestly like it's great to see. And I think that's what's so great about this sport is it is really equal. And you see a lot of top woman riders that are so successful. Obviously, every once in a while, you have the difficulties of a strong horse or a horse that's a little bit more difficult or a horse that's made for a man. But I do think it goes both ways. There are horses that are also made more for a woman. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a great sport because women can find their own path and be successful at a very high level and stay competitive with men, which is, I mean, it's a great thing for the sport.
Absolutely. And from one fashion enthusiast to another, I would love to know what your take is on fashion within the sport. How has fashion kind of become intertwined with equestrian sport, and How do you feel like you kind of find a balance between, flexing the fashion muscle while still, being, we're athletes and needing to have not only clothes that work with you as a rider and athlete, but are also kind of the classic outfit that has been worn, over generations. So tell me a little bit about that dynamic.
It's funny because now, I mean, like I feel like horse fashion, like breeches and boots, it's kind of like a bit of a trend, but I mean it's a great trend. And I'm lucky I work with Dada Sport and they're awesome,
The
and
best.
they have incredible clothes. And I mean, when I'm walking the course and they have, they have great new jackets and new shirts, and the show coats are fun and they're different colors, and it definitely makes you feel more confident. And you get to wear those and sort of flaunt it, and they have great stuff. And not only that, but it fits great, which sometimes I find is hard to find in the show jumping world. A pant that fits right, or a shirt that buttons the right way, things like that. Even show coats that are long enough or short enough and fit your body type. No, but I'm really lucky to be working with them, and I think anytime, they've always adapted and they've always made things work for the riders, and the riders come first, and they want the clothes to look correct on a woman, and now they're doing men as well. And my husband absolutely loves their clothes. He's like, goes in there all the time and he's like, look at this new sweatshirt or look at this new jacket. I'm like, okay, like you have more Dada clothes than I do now. But
That's
it's great.
awesome.
And they have fun stuff, and it's nice to have. So yeah, it's exciting, and I like having that too, and having something that you can wear. We just went on a ski trip, and having like a cool puffy jacket, and everyone's like, where did you get that? And it's like, oh, well, it's a show jumping brand, but it doubles as a street brand as well. So it's great.
Totally. Yeah, and I think with, it's so important to have pieces that, you can wear for multiple things. I mean,
For
one for
sure.
like a, economic, I think environmentally, like there's just so many benefits to be able to have things that cross over well. But I also think it's so funny. I mean, being a part of equestrian fashion myself for nearly a decade now, I think that something I used to hear more so back when I started is that, like riding's not like a fashion show. It's not about like what you're wearing. And I just love that it's become more of a way to express yourself and been more like accepted to wear something, maybe like different or a little bit more elevated or a little bit more cutting edge. And I truly think that when you feel good about what you're wearing, it really just like boosts your confidence. And I swear it makes you ride better. Like I just feel like if you feel like you're confident in your skin and in your in what you're wearing, I swear it helps.
No, I completely agree. I completely agree. And like when you get a new jacket, or you get like a new pair of pants or a shirt, and you're like, ooh, I really like this. And it just makes you feel better about yourself for
Totally. I know
sure.
there's got to be some like psychology term or something to that, but I
A
feel like
hundred
it's
percent.
true. What
No,
would
it's
you
crazy.
say? I know that we've talked about this before when you were on, but tell me a little bit about what you like lately, what you feel like something that you're especially passionate about in the horse world that you feel like people either don't talk a lot about or don't know enough about.
Yeah, I mean, like I said in my last episode, I'm very passionate about my young horses. I'm very passionate about, them being the future of the sport, and not only focusing on what's happening right now, but what might happen in 2 years or 3 years, and being prepared for that and having horses for the future. A lot of times I find myself getting so caught up in what's happening right now and results, and then having the young horses coming along and seeing, I mean, hopefully the future looking so bright. It's rewarding to me, and it is something I'm very passionate about and will remain passionate about probably for the rest of my life. I think the young horses in America definitely need a little bit of work to sort of boost their importance, I guess. It's something that obviously is very popular in Europe, but in the United States, I think there's a lack of young horses. I think, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a tough topic because not everybody wants to do young horses, and it's expensive to do sometimes, and it's hard for the horse shows to do sometimes because there a lot of people don't turn up for it, but it is the future, and I think that is what's so cool about it and what's fun about it and what's important about it. So,
What
yeah.
do you think the professionals in our industry, the programs, and then as well as the kind of infrastructure of our sport would need to change in the US to get closer to, the emphasis of young horses like there is in Europe?
I mean, for me, I spent a lot of time in Ireland and doing young horses in Ireland. And when you jump a 5-year-old class in Ireland, you're jumping against 120 other people. And your entry fee is $25. And when you jump a, and there might not be prize money, but still your entry fee is $25. So it's pretty affordable for everybody. When you're in the States, you're entry fee, your stall fee, your ambulance fee, and I know these are all important things. It's so much that it's not affordable for everybody. And it's really hard for people that are trying to have a young horse and develop a young horse. It's hard for them to compete because it's not affordable. And that's difficult. You want to have a young horse and maybe you have it to sell, maybe you have it to develop yourself, but it's, yeah, I mean, it's a tough topic for sure. There's no prize money in it, which is okay, but the entry fees are very, very high, and so you only get, maximum 10 people. I mean, I jumped the 5-year-old championship in Michigan over the summer or in September, and I think there were like 12 or 15 in it. I need to check it, but it's, yeah, it's disappointing. And in Europe, I mean, being in Ireland, you would jump qualifiers to go to Dublin, and then when you get to Dublin, it's 30 people and it's the best 30 horses in the country. And it's really impressive. So it's, yeah, it's definitely a work in progress. I think it's something that needs to be addressed and needs to be dealt with, but it's hard.
That's definitely a good one. And I think it's something that would really grow the sport in so many ways, is having it a little bit more like how it's structured in Europe, to make that those classes more accessible and then more
Absolutely.
turned out. And I think it could really grow the sport.
Yeah, and there are y nice young horses in this country, but I mean, I know I have We have eight down here, I think, young horses that we haven't even really shown. We do shows away from WEF, but we don't really bring them to WEF because it doesn't make sense financially. So it's a tough topic, and it's tough for some people to understand. Jumping for no prize money but paying a lot to jump, it just doesn't make sense. So definitely something that needs to be discussed and worked on, but I think, they are horse shows are making great strides to make it, more accessible for people and more accessible for the horses to develop.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's a really good one. Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for coming on and sharing more of your story. I think what you're doing, especially lately since we last spoke, has been so exciting to watch and really, really
Thank
fun
you.
to really see how your program has been developing over the years. So thank you again for taking the time. And
Thank you so much.
I wish you all the best.
You too. It was nice to catch up.
All right, that is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute and write a review on iTunes. I would so appreciate it. It helps people like you find the podcast, and it helps me get some killer guests. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next week.